Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, my friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm so excited you're here today to listen in on this conversation. I am being joined by Kara. Welcome, Kara.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So let's get started, Kara, just by having you share a little bit of your story with our audience and how you came to be in working in this space.
Sure. Well, let's see. My story is that I have a 10-year-old daughter. I live in the Czech Republic, but I am originally from Michigan. So I've lived sort of my whole adult life now in a foreign country, if you will. So that's part of my special sauce. let's see what else. I have been married. I'm no longer married. I've been through my own stuff, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners have, you know, on various levels, let's say childhood and beyond. And the second part of your question had to do with how I'm showing up for the people that I'm serving now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So my focus area in my coaching practice is maybe overlapping with yours a little bit, but I'm focused more on the boundaries aspect of dealing with ourselves. So people I tend to work with are looking at the ways in which they might be self-abandoning, the ways in which they're not necessarily in tune to what they want and need, and how to sort of backtrack that and learn how to assert themselves in a way that is, you know, healthy for them and for the people around them.
Yeah, boundaries, I think, are one of the most important parts of healing. Mm-hmm. And they're also one of the biggest struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Because as trauma survivors, we grew up in an experience where we were taught that you have to people please in order to earn love, basic necessities for life, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yeah. Good.
So
me too.
What are personal boundaries? Let's start there. Let's start really, really basic. What are personal boundaries?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So boundaries can come in a lot of forms, right? A lot of people think of boundaries as maybe a rule. So that's maybe the first thing to untangle, is the boundary is not a rule. A rule is something you tell someone else to do, and it's up to them to do it or not. Mm-hmm. Boundary is something that you say you will or won't do based on what's going on around you. So that's the first thing. And then if we were to break that down, we could say that there are physical boundaries. So for example, if you found that there's someone who you meet and you don't feel physically safe around them for whatever reason, maybe they're just too touchy-feely and you don't like that. So then it's up to you to decide not to tell, you don't even have to tell other people. This is the thing with boundaries. You don't have to tell other people what your boundaries are. You can just enact them. So you get to decide, when I'm around that person, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. There's also boundaries around time is another really big one. Who has access to me when? Right. So if I, will I always, for example, will I always check my messages as soon as they come into my phone? Do I feel like I must? Does everybody have to access me? Or do I have to answer my phone every time a call comes in? That's another example of a boundary, is saying, if I'm not prepared, or if I'm maybe after 9 p.m. or whatever it is, if I'm about to eat, if I'm busy in a task, I don't answer the phone, I call back. That's an example of a boundary. So boundaries are what we will do based on different circumstances.
Yeah, I love that. It is not a rule. I love that. So let's dive in a little bit to self-neglect.
Okay.
Because I think
just for fun.
Just for
the
fun.
The late topic.
Because I think this is something that a lot of trauma survivors, especially trauma surviving moms, struggle with. Because we're told that, well, growing up, we're told that we have to people please and our needs don't matter. And then we enter motherhood and we're told that we stop mattering when that kid is born. And that's a load of crap. But so let's talk about ways that we can acknowledge when we are self-neglecting.
Yeah, I love that. And the first thing that comes to my mind is just that motherhood is a really difficult environment for somebody who is a people pleaser, because, and for somebody who's learning boundaries for the first time, because babies, when they're really little, you cannot have the same boundaries with them that you can have with older children, because they're not neurologically set up for that, right? You can't have really boundaries with babies. You have to push through your own boundaries when you're talking about, like, you know, doing something even though you're tired, even though you don't have the energy for it. I wouldn't recommend that. The only situation where you have to do that is with a baby, but that can be really tricky for somebody who's trying to recover at the same time, because then what happens, in my experience personally and with my friends and such, is you get into this, and then rather than adjusting as the baby grows to, like, start responding in an increasingly healthy way for you and in an appropriate way for them as they grow, you don't actually end up doing that, because you get used to just being a little Jenny on the spot, if you will, Johnny on the spot, if you will. And that's a problem, right? So you're absolutely right that, like, this is a super hard thing for those of us who have trauma, especially as it relates to being a codependent people pleaser, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it can really set that off, especially if you don't even have any awareness of it in the first place. I mean, this is an absolute recipe for postpartum depression and burnout. It's almost a guarantee from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I can agree with that based on my personal experience.
Yeah. Yep. We're preaching to the choir here, aren't we?
Yeah, we really are. So what are some ways, maybe one or two tips that you give your clients, or things that you've found successful yourself in acknowledging your self-abandonment and implementing boundaries early on in your journey?
The first thing I would say is awareness. And by that, I mean coming to understand what it feels like in yourself. And I mean that by yourself, I mean emotionally, I mean possibly physically. What is the sense that you get when you're doing something that you don't want to do, when you're doing something that's more than you should be doing, right? For me, it's a feeling of resentment, irritation, frustration, anger. For me, it's just anger, right? And then because I've been doing this for a while, the next step is, after awareness, okay, the awareness is the trigger, is something's triggering me, because I know, because I've got the feeling, right? I'm accustomed to this feeling. Here's the feeling. And then the next thing is to figure out what's going on here, right? To step back and go, okay, I've been here before, what's going on here? And then usually, then this takes a few, you know, you have to repeat this, you have to practice this, you have to experience the process over and over again. But what usually happens is you can identify, oh, I am, usually for me, it's I'm overperforming, I'm overfunctioning right now in a particular way. Last night, I can tell you exactly what it was. I'd been cleaning up after my daughter, these little things. She'd been leaving stuff out, like not picking up after herself. And it happened several times. And it was 8:45 at night and I had had it. And she asked me for one little thing. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not getting that. I was like, wait a minute. So this is what I recommend, is really just bringing awareness into, how do you know that the pressure is building? Can, and slowly, can you catch it sooner and sooner and sooner? Because for example, last night, I didn't catch it right away, right? And this happens. We have to forgive ourselves. We're not going to do this perfectly. This is wiring that we've had, I mean, for me, for my entire life, from the time I can remember, right? I was being called, oh, you're such a saint for doing all the stuff that I was doing last night still, right? So this is what I would say. This is what I teach, is we need to become aware of when we're in that mode, how do we know? And then just to become, to highlight the cycle, repeat that highlighting process until it becomes more and more and more clear what's going on here, so that we can interrupt it. And then we interrupt it sooner and sooner and sooner.
Yeah, I can resonate with what you're saying. For me, mm-hmm. I notice that I get short. My mm-hmm. temper gets really short. I get mm-hmm. resentful. And it's when I take everything on and feel like I need to do everything myself because I can't rely on other people.
Yeah.
And so when I acknowledge that and I mm-hmm. can say, okay, could I ask for help? Mm-hmm. Are there things that I can outsource mm-hmm. that other people could be doing and they're just not?
Yeah.
Because I'm not asking for help, or I'm not communicating effectively, or what mm-hmm. what have you. Mm-hmm. So acknowledging that can be tricky, because mm-hmm. for many trauma survivors, I know I can speak for myself, I was numb to my feelings. Mm-hmm. So the first step is to work on acknowledging, wait, why am I cranky? Why am I feeling neglected? Why am I feeling, can't think of the word, brain fart. Why? And not judging yourself for feeling that way, but just acknowledging it.
Yeah. 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 And anger is that one, the resentment, the anger, the frustration, all of that. I think that for a lot of us with this sort of profile that we're talking about, mm-hmm. that was the emotion that was absolutely unacceptable. Right. And maybe other people in our household had it, but we weren't allowed to have it. And, and I would even say on top of that, that we also weren't allowed to be assertive. We weren't allowed to use our voice. We weren't allowed to have feelings. We weren't allowed to express our point of view. Which then is, you know, becomes ingrained. It gets really hard to use our voice later in lots of ways, including asking for help, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, how do we even get to that point?
Or expressing your point of view is wrong.
Yeah.
That's one that I've struggled with.
My heart still beats hard when I know I'm about to challenge somebody's point of view, even if it's a friend, even if I know objectively I'm safe, I still like have to tell myself it's safe. Like, it's okay.
There's still a physical response. There's still that physical response.
And I've been working on this stuff for years.
Me too. It is a journey. It is a journey. It does not happen all overnight.
Yeah.
So what are some things that mamas can look out for when they begin to acknowledge and implement their acknowledge their self-abandonment and or self-neglect and begin to implement boundaries. What are some things that they need to keep an eye out for?
The first thing that comes to my mind, and this is a tricky one, this can be a doozy, especially if you're already in a relationship, is noticing the areas in which your relationship might be leaning on your people pleasing, where areas in which you've established, if you are in a relationship with a partner, the ways in which you've already established the relationship around the partner, assuming those people pleasing behaviors are going to continue. Right. So this is so big. This is so big because if you're in a partnership and you've got a kid, you've got little ones, and your partner has maybe without meaning to, hopefully without meaning to, right? But nonetheless, it come to expect you to act a certain way that is basically over-functioning, right? In case, and whether it be, you know, on domestic labor or in any way. I mean, probably, you know, emotional domestic labor. These are big things that tend to be shouldered by women in our society, unfortunately, right? And even in really progressive partnerships, this is still happening, right? So this is the thing that really comes to mind, is to not overlook that piece, that your partner, as you're getting yourself on board and as you're getting yourself the knowledge and everything, if your partner isn't also learning and understanding, and you're not having these direct conversations about what your experience is and how parenthood is affecting you as someone with the stuff that's going on from your past, then you're not going to be able to really heal your stuff, or you're going to have to, you know, leave your partner. So this is just so important. And I have a couple of resources for this, actually. If your audience would be interested, there's another podcast called Time to Lean. It's with Laura Danger and Crystal, I forget her last name, but anyway, they talk about the fair play method, which sounds fantastic. I'm not in a partnership, so I've used it, but dear Lord, let me tell you, is it satisfying to listen to them talk about it? Having been in a partnership where there was a lot of assumption around the mental and practical and emotional labor that I was going to be doing, right? The good news is that there is a framework out there now. It's relatively new, but it sounds really powerful. They've actually kind of gamified it, but made it really clear what that mental and emotional load is, because those of us who already have trauma on top of that mental emotional load, and if there's an assumption in our household, which if you're a cisgendered, standard heterosexual female, there probably is an assumption, unfortunately. You don't need that. That's the last thing you need. And it can seem probably like a lot. I can imagine, if I think back on like the early years of my daughter's life when I was still partnered, that would have been a lot for me to take on, for sure. I definitely would have had to tend to myself first, but that is a piece of the puzzle that can't be ignored.
No, it's vitally important, because like your partner needs to be on board.
Deep, clear way.
Yeah.
Not in a, honey, just give me a list of things you need me to do. No,
because no, that's more on labor. Me. That's more on me.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, that's, that don't fly.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing that comes to mind, I can't remember what the question was now, but this is another thing that I think is really important here. And it ties into having your partner on board, and that's direct communication. And this is something that us, you know, tender, traumatized, people pleasing souls have a really hard time with direct communication, right? This is something that we learned was not okay. Growing up, and it's really hard for us to use our voices, as you talked about. But it's really important that we slowly, gently retrain our nervous system to tolerate direct communication and to understand what that is. I think a lot of people I work with will say, okay, I want to set boundaries, but only if I can be nice. And that just tells you everything you need to know, right? And I don't mean, but by saying yeah. that tells you everything you need to know, I don't mean that boundaries are mean, but I don't mean that they're nice either. That's not the point. That's a red herring. The point is that you feel like you can't set them because you have to be nice. So you're choosing to be nice all the time rather than choosing what you need. Mm-hmm. But that's all boundaries is. Boundaries are meeting your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Noticing you have them and meeting them. So direct communication is a really, really critical skill to learn. And that's a lot of what I do with my clients is we actually talk yeah. through scenarios. Okay, here's the situation. What's going on? What are you trying to say? And they're, you know, talking in circles around it. It's like, what do you really, if it doesn't matter, they're never going to hear it. What do you need them to know? And then they tell me, and it's like, it doesn't sound unkind to me. It just sounds like you're just saying what you need,
mm-hmm.
but I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So a quick story.
Mm-hmm.
So I am working on implementing boundaries.
Okay.
And and one of the people in my life, my father,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Has had a habit of speaking to me in a disrespectful way. Mm-hmm. He was mm-hmm. raised by a boomer, so there's generational stuff there.
Yeah.
He was speaking to me in a disrespectful way, how he spoke to me all of my childhood. And he said some really hurtful things. And I said to him very clearly, it is not okay for you to speak to me that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue to speak to me in that way, we won't be able to communicate any longer. I'm going to step away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I told him very clearly, and let me be clear with you, friends, that was terrifying. Because
that's like the apex. Sorry.
It was my father, first of all. And I was telling him, no, you can't speak to me that way as another human, as your adult daughter. And if you continue, I'm backing up. We will have no more communication.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first warning.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't like it. There was backlash. He got mad at me. And I stopped the conversation. I stopped reacting because every time someone says something, you do not have to respond.
Mm-hmm.
My heart was beating out of my chest. My breathing mm-hmm. was quick mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. my hands were shaking. I am so mm-hmm. thankful it was over text message and I did not have to speak because I probably would have cried. Not that I was being mean. I was being clear. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. holding my boundary for respect mm-hmm. because I deserve respect, even from mm-hmm. my father as his adult daughter. Mm-hmm. So, and this is not the first person in my family where I've had to say, you cannot speak to me that way. If you do, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the people who need you to hold the boundary are the people who will get mad. In my experience, they'll get upset about it because mm-hmm. they're no longer benefiting from you, from your lack of boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. If you put a boundary in place and somebody kicks back, it's not because you're mean. It's because that person is taking advantage of your lack of boundaries.
That's so right. That's so true. Oh my God. You're so brave for standing up to your dad. Holy cow. That's the big one for mm-hmm. so many of us. Parents, mm-hmm. specifically the father figure, I'm going to argue. Holy cow. Wow. Wow. And can I also say, adding on to what you just said about they're going to push back, is our kids. One of the things that we get stuck with when our kids push back is the same thing as with adults. But there's the sense of, oh, it's hard for them. Oh, they don't like it. Oh, you know, there's this sort of wishy-washiness that comes in. And that's not to judge us because, hello, me too, raising my hand, right? But it's just to point out that kids actually, you could say that some adults are behaving like kids when they're pushing back, but it's natural for kids to push back. It's actually developmentally appropriate for kids to push back. That's literally their job, is to figure out what they can push at and when they're going to get pushed back on. Sorry, you've frozen. I'm not sure if we're here. Okay, good. What you've pushed back on. I'm not sure if we're still recording.
Yep, we're good.
You're there. Okay. So you're just, your image is frozen. Okay. You're back. Right. So we can actually remember that with our kids in particular. We can remember that, like, oh, they're pushing back. That's good. Not, oh, I should do something. Oh, I should question myself. No, that's good. That means I'm doing something right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we just let our kids, you know, if we immediately back down every time our kids get uncomfortable or don't like something or start whining or crying or whatever, all we're doing is putting them into a position where they're not actually sure what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. And they're actually, in a deeper sense, not really sure if they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if we're not telling them, yes, no, it's like this, it's like that, they're not really sure if there's somebody there sort of holding the situation together.
Yeah.
There's not necessarily an adult there if you're not doing that with your kids. And let me say that as somebody who did that. Again, no criticism, no judgment of people if it sounds familiar to them, because good Lord, did I do
it's
that.
It's hard.
Poor kid.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Balancing between creating a responsible human being who can be respectful, can function in society in a healthy way, and being terrified that you're going to traumatize your child.
Yeah.
The balance it can be tricky. And it's something that myself, as a trauma survivor, healing my childhood trauma in the midst of parenting my little people, am keenly aware of.
And let me tell you this as well. The more self-directed I become, and by self-directed, I mean the more aware of what I need and I act on it. Mm-hmm. The more self-directed I am, the more directive an appropriate way. The more directive in an appropriate way I am with my kid. And by appropriate here, I mean calm, present, simple, clear. Sometimes I raise my voice, but I don't mean like a screaming and, you know, slamming things uncontrollably way, but in a stern and clear way. Stern, clear, and loving at the same time, right? The more I'm self-directed, the more that comes out naturally.
Yeah.
I don't have to do it. I don't have to do a thing. I can just proceed, if you will. So that's kind of a cool thing about it. If you're thinking like, oh my God, I have to fix myself and I have to fix my parenting. Actually, no, they're combined.
They're connected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Work on you and your parenting will follow.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah.
So how can our audience, our listeners, connect with you further if that's what they would like to do?
Oh yeah. You can find me on my website. It's my name, KaraRegas.com. I'm sure you'll put it in the show notes. I'm also on Instagram. My handle is my name, Kara Regas. I've been told that it shouldn't be my name, but it is. and also my website, if anybody wants a free resource, I have my boundaries workbook, which is step-by-step looking at your situation, going through a process and actually applying a self-coaching model to yourself so that you can see, you know, where the issues are and what you can start to do about it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me, Kara. I will include all of those links at the bottom of the blog post that will go with this episode so that listeners can easily click and go wherever they would like to go and connect with you. Thank you so much for joining me. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you resonated with what you heard, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and share it with a friend who would also benefit, because we rise together. Until next time, Mama, keep shining.